Welcome to No Save for You, a podcast where I gather my thoughts about tabletop RPGs. My name's Cody. Enjoy the show.
Hey Cody, Spike Pier here. You're conspicuous by your absence on the mic, mate. I just wondered, are you got anything brewing? I kind of missing your groovy theme tune music and all your wicked ideas on No Save for You, man. So I keep checking through my list, see if there's anything fresh there, but alas, there is not. Oh, man.
All right, there, kicking it off with the call-in from Colin of Spike Pit. I've been really busy. Haven't been able to get to the mic, but here I am. So I wanted to kick this off with a report of what I've been doing in gaming. I haven't been playing a whole lot. I've been doing a lot of writing and planning for the Black Sands campaign, which is actually going pretty well. I've run two sessions of it so far. The first one, the guys that I played with, they went out into the desert. They followed a slaver caravan out into the desert to these ruins, and were planning to basically jump the caravan, free the slaves, and then, you know, steal all the loot. Then they got ambushed by by locust men, and they also walked into a sand pit. So didn't really go as planned for them, but they did find a ruin, which was cool, and then they went down into the ruin, and that was on the back end, on my end, that was just randomly rolling to see what they found. I have a big table, a D100 table. So if they're in the ruin field and they're searching, I basically just figure out how long they're going to search for, roll on the table, and then, whatever happens, happens. So this time I rolled a ruin. I had a dungeon ready to go for them, so the second session, that's what we called it at the end of the first session. The second session, they went down into the ruin. And yeah, they pretty much steamrolled the dungeon. A few more guys showed up than I wasn't planning for, but and some well-placed spells on their end really helped them through. I think they used sleep on one of the encounters to pretty much evade it, and then they came across a group of cultists and charmed one of them, and he basically gave them all the secrets for the dungeon, and they, you know, were able to bypass a lot of the stuff and not have to worry about it. It was still cool. They had a couple fights and then got some treasure, and they made it back to town safely. I'm really enjoying that. It's been a lot of fun. I don't want this to turn into like a full-on session report, but I have been doing stuff with Black Sands, and I've been really enjoying it. All right. Up next, I wanted to, I guess I don't have a whole lot to talk about on my own, but I wanted to bring forth some things I've seen on Kickstarter and some things I've seen on Reddit. And I think I'm going to keep doing this because I troll those sites pretty often looking for stuff. So this will be kind of like a weekly report of what I've been seeing. So with Kickstarter, I'm sure everyone who listens to my show knows that the Old School Essentials one is running. I think there's about 20 days left. It's fully funded, so at this point, if you put money towards it, there's pretty much no risk. I think you can get in at the $10 level, and that's either the PDF of the rules tome, and I think you can also get in at a $10 level for the PDF of the individual books. So if you're looking to get into that, you're not sure how much it costs, there you go, 10 bucks. The other one I wanted to talk about was the A5 Gamers Notebook. So these are really cool. They're spiral-bound notebooks. On one side of the page, it's a grid, and I think it's 6-millimeter grid, and on the other side, it's lined. It's a nice, heavy sheet of paper. I actually have one of the older ones, and it's almost filled up. I ordered a couple more through this Kickstarter. He increased the paper width or the density, so it's a higher quality paper, which I'm really looking forward to. I think there's about half a day left on that Kickstarter. Again, this one's fully funded. So if you want to get a cool, you know, travel-sized notebook that's perfect for D&D or any other kind of games you play, I would suggest it. And then the last one is the Broadsword Zine. So last time I played Kalmata, I played with a guy named Justin, and he's running this, or him and his friend are running this Kickstarter for their magazine, Broadsword. It's a 5th edition, but it's got like old school feel or tendencies. It's got some really great art, and you can get it again at the $10 level for the first issue's PDF. Or if you wanted to subscribe for 3 months, so you can get the first 3 issues, it's going to be $30. And again, that's at the PDF level. I would say it's almost worth it alone for the art. Justin does some really cool art. It's all hand-painted. You know, there's no digital on any of it. And I saw actually a side note on his Patreon the other day. He's thinking about doing live stream for his art. So he'll just put up a stream for his Patreons. And, you know, you can watch him do his art, which I think is a super cool idea. But, yeah, check it out. I think the latest Hobbs and Friends episode was actually with these guys who are doing this. So check it out. I think there's maybe 2 or 3 days left on that. Again, it's fully funded. So if you're, you know, if you got 10 bucks, I would put it there. All right. And again, all of these will be in the show notes. So if you're looking for a link or you're not sure, you know, where to find it, or if you're can't understand what I'm saying, then check the show notes. And you can get links directly to these projects. All right. So on the Reddit side of thing, I saw a post. It's a link to Gundabad's Games blog, and the post was of Swords and Sojourners, or Sojourners. Yeah. It was a really interesting article about barbarians and role-playing games, and kind of a historical look at what barbarians actually were back in the Greco-Roman era. It's kind of a wall of text, so if you're going to read it, I would, you know, take your time with it and kind of delve into it. I really enjoyed it. It was a really interesting read. Gave me kind of a new way to look at barbarians and how I would handle them in my current games. Which is cool. I would suggest it for anyone who's, you know, interested in that historical time period, or just interested in barbarians anyway. Next up, the Three Hexes Campaign Starters by Chicago Wiz. He's at 52 starters, so he's got enough. You can do one. You could use one a week for an entire year, which is pretty cool. If you're not familiar with this method, it's basically, you can get on the Chicago Wiz, get on his blog and check it out. But you take 3 hexes if you're gonna do a hex crawl, and you write, I think it's 3 sentences about each hex, and that's how you start your campaign. I've used it. I actually used it for Black Sands, and it was a really great tool for me, you know, kicking off a campaign. I think a lot of the time, when you know I sit down to start a new game or something, there's almost analysis paralysis. There's so many options or different choices that you can go through, and you get a cool idea, but then you don't know exactly what to do with it. Well, this method helped me with Black Sands, and just you know, going one step at a time, fleshing things out, and yeah, I think it's really cool. And so if you're looking to do a hex crawl and you don't know where to start, Chicago Wiz has 52 of them you can pick from, and start, and he's got his method up there. So if you're, you know, if you want to do it by yourself or on your own without using one of his, you also can. All right, the next one, and I think this might be the last one. Oh, no. The next one, it's Crawl Space. It's a dungeon generator without having to have a map or reference a map. It's a cool, quick method. I don't think I'd use it for every dungeon. Basically, it's you write down a bunch of room descriptions, and then you grab a die, and it's randomly rolling, which, you know, the sequence, you would start, figure out where you want to start and where you want to end, and assign that to numbers on the die. So if you have a D6, and you want the start to be room number 1 and the end to be room number 6, but you don't know the sequence of rooms between that, you basically just write down the room descriptions, roll them, and, you know, you can, basically, when you're writing the descriptions, you should assign, like, like physical features and stuff, so that, you know, you can get away without using a map, but, you know, still be able to explain to people in relation to the other rooms where the room they're currently in is, if that makes sense. You guys should probably just read the article and not listen to what I have to say about it. But yeah, I think it would be cool. It's also pretty quick. I think if you front load this idea and just write a shit ton of room descriptions, and you could just, you know, grab a handful out of them. If you've, you know, if someone wants to play a game and you've only got like 30 minutes to prep, this is a great way to get it done. So, and the last one I saw on Reddit was a 5e cantrip, which I thought would also be really good as like a first level OSR spell. It was called Sparkflies. It was a cool like utility slash defensive spell for your magic users and wizards. Anyway, there's a link to it on the show notes. You guys check it out. I thought it was cool. All right, enough of that. I'm going to come back. I wanted to do the Ray Otis challenge that he put out a couple weeks ago. So I'm going to cut this segment off, and I'll come back. Wow, I just listened back to that segment, and I was clearing my throat a lot. So I just had a milkshake from In-N-Out on my lunch break, so I've got a little bit of phlegm. So if I'm clearing my throat or smacking my lips or pausing often, just bear with me. That tends to happen when I have milkshakes. So, all right, so let's do this, the Ray Otis Challenge. So something old. This is going to be old for me, probably not old for you guys. When I came into the hobby, it was through 3rd edition when I was like 10 years old. My uncle introduced it to me. And the other day, I want to say sometime last week, I was just, you know, looking around on some blogs. And I found this old post, I think it was on the Alexandrian blog. Called Legends and Labyrinths, and it was basically a project that this guy was trying to get up, and I don't think he ever finished it, which is kind of a shame, but it was a stripped-back version of 3E, and yeah, it kind of struck a chord with me. 3rd edition will always have a special place in my heart, even if I never play it again, just simply because it's where, you know, I came into the hobby. Yeah, what I cut my teeth on, so... Yeah, Legends and Labyrinths, and he does have a free, like, preview. I looked over it. It's actually not bad. I don't know if I'm down to run or play 3rd edition again, but if for some reason I got back with my old group or my family or something, and we wanted to kick off one of the old 3rd edition campaigns, I would probably try and use this as opposed to just regular 3rd edition. Something new. I was struggling with this one last night when I was writing up the show notes. And I was just, you know, looking at stuff, and I saw that Froth had put up a new episode. So episode 41 of the Froth cast, if you guys haven't listened to it, go ahead and check it out. It's a good one. Something borrowed. Yeah, I put down West Marches. I think a lot of people borrow that idea. And, you know, it's a good one to borrow. There's, you know, occasionally, I don't know, probably once every 2 or 3 months, I try and go back and just reread the original, you know, the post from the Ars Ludi blog about it. It's a good read and kind of, you know, resets my thinking and resets me for the kind of games that I like to play and the kind of games I want to try and run. So, yep, if you've never read it, I'm sure everyone who listens to my show has. There'll be a link. You can find it on the show notes and go over there and check it out. And then something blue. So it's probably something you guys don't know about me. I really love blues music. That and jazz are my two favorite types of music. So I put a link to Fred McDowell's Mississippi Blues album on the show notes. So you guys can go and check it out. He's got the full-length albums on YouTube. You can just listen to it there. But yeah, it's really good. You know, kind of classic Delta blues style music. Yeah. I think there's something special about the blues, especially as an American. You know, our culture is so, you know, we borrow a lot from other cultures, from music and food. And I feel like the blues is kind of, and jazz, they're really true, like, American art forms. And yeah, so check it out. Fred McDowell is one of the greats.
Well, folks, thanks for listening. You can find me on Discord and MeWe. Music on this show is by Lobo Loco. And in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.